Hallelujah. Thank you, Sean. Praise the Lord. And as you give, we once again let you know how much we appreciate that. God's going to do more than appreciate it. He's going to bless you, and he's going to bless you in ways that go beyond just the physical and the material and things that couldn't be bought if you had all the money in the world. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This service is moving toward a time of remembering what Jesus' death has done on the cross for us, and what kind of death it was, and what it cost to redeem you and me. And the idea of Holy Communion and remembrance is to re-stimulate, rekindle the flame of the first love. Everybody say, the flame of the first love. God is deeply concerned about that flame. Amen. And for years I preached messages on how to rekindle that stir up the gift that's in you, to fan into flame, amen, that is within. But I have discovered something in these days, that there are a lot of Christians that cannot rekindle the flame of the first love. Do you know why they can't have it rekindled, and why that message is not appropriate for them? Because it's never been kindled to begin with. There are people that have come to know Jesus and started following him for the wrong reasons. Amen. They got in it because they heard they could become materially wealthy beyond their wildest dreams, and that does not stimulate love for Christ. Can you say amen? It doesn't do it. There are people that hit and miss church, and you can tell if they ever had the first love, it needs to be rekindled. But there are people in church that have never known the first love. And if there isn't the entertainment, if there isn't something to draw them back, they're simply not coming. And the worst thing is when they walk out the door without the first love, they can't follow him. Because the first step in following him is a devotion that causes us to deny ourselves in order to please him. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? You can't be a disciple of Christ until you come to a point of devotion where you're willing to deny yourself or offer your body a living sacrifice. If any man would be my disciple, let him deny himself. Everybody say, deny himself. Deny. One translation says very accurately, to give up all right to self. Amen. Someone said of the communion table, this is not where we come to bargain with God, of how to bargain with him about how much of our life we're going to devote to him. Communion table is where we come to agree to unconditional surrender. Everybody say, unconditional surrender. And the thing about it is, if you really fall in love with the Lord, it's not a sacrifice to deny your own personal selfish desires. And believe me, my personal stuff is all about me. I mean, we used to kid Ditter because there's a song. I'm glad she's not here. We can pick on her while she's gone. But we used to kid about Ditter because we sing a song here. It's all about you, Jesus. It's not about me. As we should do things our way. But we always exception Ditter. See, we picked on her, amen, because Ditter would sing, it's all about me. She didn't do it, but we just went ahead and told that on her. Bless her heart. Can you say amen? Did they buy that t-shirt? You bought, it's all about me. Yeah, it's all about me. Well, you know, that's all of our flesh. It's about me. Everything that I go to God for is for me. And the Bible said there's two reasons people don't truly receive from God. Number one, in the book of James, you have not because you ask not. You don't make God your source and come to him by faith. And there's a secondary reason that we don't receive. You ask. Now you're making him your source. You're coming to him by faith. And you receive not because you ask amiss, to consume it upon yourself. Literally upon your own selfish desires. And all of my desires that are not submitted and surrendered to his will and purpose are selfish desires. Some people want to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost so they can prove to everybody else how spiritual they are. And yet all the gifts of the Spirit is for the building up of the body of Christ. It's not to promote ourselves. It's not to put ourselves up on some spiritual status ladder. Some people want to get rich so they can just get more of the wealth of the world, not so they can help others that are in need. And when the desire is ultimately selfish, then God begins to pull back. But when it's selfless, God begins to pour it out into our life. Can you say amen? There's a fast in the book of Isaiah that is not a fast for food. They were fasting their food, and he wasn't listening to their prayers. They were seemingly making sacrifices, and he wasn't listening. And he said, is this the fast that I've chosen? Is this what I'm really looking for in you? That you would hang your head like a bulrush? You ever seen someone fasting like this? They come in and you say, would you like a cup of coffee? No. Would you like some cake and cake? We got some cake left over from the birthday. No. Would you like some juice? No. Hang your head like a bulrush. Let everybody look at you and see how spiritually sacrificial you are. Jesus said, when you fast, anoint your face. There's a guy I meet with in the pastor's thing, and he allows himself a little tomato juice at breakfast. It's like a partial fast. He'll drink some juice and water. He don't drink the caffeine coffee, so I know he's got a headache, because that's what happens to me when I don't get my caffeine. And y'all sure ain't helping. That coffee maker you got me, whoo, that thing make good coffee. Amen. If I have to give up coffee, see, for me it would be a fast to not drink any coffee.
Yeah.
It'd be a tremendous sacrifice on my part. What's wrong with you, brother? Ain't had my coffee. And Sean, I don't know, Sean may have had to leave, but I'm going to tell you something. Sean needs his coffee. Praise God. Amen. We went to visit Sean when he was being checked over in the hospital. Amen. And I looked there, and there's an IV up there, said Starbucks on it. I don't know. They just said if we could just get some caffeine in him, he'll be fine. Starbucks up on that little bag. One of them was some saline solution. The other was Starbucks. I've never seen that in any hospital. No wonder he brags on that hospital. Not really. Everybody say, not really. You didn't believe me when I said it, did you? All right. So it wasn't a lie then, right? Okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God has been good to me. Praise the Lord. God has been good to me. This is the fast that I have chosen. Not that you hang your head like a bulrush, showing him how sacrificial you are. But is it not to deal out your bread to the hungry? Amen. To live a selfless life instead of a selfish life. Say, live. This is a way of life. This is not something you do for 30 days or 3 days or 10 days. This is something you do every day. Amen. The chosen fast is something that represents a selfless life. Everybody say a selfless life. And when you live a selfless life, you live the Jesus life. Can you say amen? Because he didn't come here to do his thing. He came here to do his Father's will. And he found such joy even when that will led him to the cross. Amen. For the joy that was set before him. Say it with me. For the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross while despising the shame. You'd think the pain. See, if you're selfish, you just think of the pain it's going to cause you. Jesus wasn't thinking of the pain. I think of the pain of a beating like he got. I think of the pain of the scourging he went through. I think of the pain of the loneliness when everybody went to sleep thinking of their self, while he's making a deep commitment that would take him all the way to the cross. I think of the pain when they first begin to pound those nails into his hands. My thought is, how painful is it to have a nail pounded through your wrist right here, and then you're impaled in your hands. And then when they pound the nails through his feet, amen. And then he's in terrible pain before it happened. I think of the rough wood on his already bleeding back that they had opened up with the stripes they laid on him. And I think of what it felt like when he pushed up so his diaphragm could open to get oxygen. And he pushed up and not only with his feet pushing now on that causes pain, his pulling himself up with on the nails themselves, but also his back and the rough wood on his back as he pushed up to get a breath. And I think how hard it was for him to even speak while on the cross. And yet on the cross, he's not talking about his pain. Did you know he didn't talk? He talked about his thirst. on the cross, I thirst. But he was concerned about his mother and how she was going to be cared for. He was concerned about the man that was hanging by him that wanted to be forgiven and saved. Can you say amen? He was concerned about the crowd that crucified him and interceded for them while hanging on the cross, while they hissed and cursed and got sick pleasure out of looking at his terrible pain and agony. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. His last act of intercession on earth was to ask forgiveness for those who took joy and pleasure in watching him suffer. Amen. I believe we can do a little better in our forgiveness to people. If he loved us enough to forgive people that had done him like that, amen, I believe we should go ahead and get that forgiveness stuff over with and get on with our life, praise God. I know people live their whole life looking back. Can you say, man, looking back and given any opportunity, we talk about how bad somebody has done to us. Listen, this thing can get so strong in you. I'm going to challenge you today. There's nothing anyone can do to me. And believe me, I may not have had it as bad as you have had it, but I've lived long enough as a preacher to be a target for a whole lot of the enemy's people that he could use. And some of them were Christian, I'm sad to say. Can you say, man? But there's nothing anyone can do to me, Sean, that even deserves to be put on a level of what he has done for me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm not going to pet my hurts. I'm going to praise my Savior, my helper, praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, say that with me. There's nothing that anybody can do to me that is greater than what Jesus has done for me. Praise God. Amen. As a lamb dumb before his shearers. Oh, listen. If he had opened his mouth, he said, I could call heaven's armies to deliver me. All he had to do was open his mouth and it would have been done. But as a lamb dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. They better be glad it wasn't me on that cross that had that kind of power. While they sit there, oh, come on, brother, you too. I mean, there's some people that you feel it's almost worth dying for, that you love with all of your heart. I would die for my wife. I would die for my children. But to die for that outfit? To ask God to forgive that outfit? With the power to come off of that cross and not use that power? All he had to do was open his mouth. That's all he had to do. Speak it. Warrior angels from heaven, thousands of them would have descended upon this earth. First thing they would have done is eradicated all those people as he came off of that cross. They wouldn't have to help him off of it either. He was God incarnate. Can you say amen? But he held not. He opened not his mouth. He held his peace. Amen. And in the midst of his pain and agony, he represented selflessness on a level that few of us even dare to dream of. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to live that selfless life? And that's what Jesus said. He was talking about the chosen fast when he said this is the criteria, the prerequisite for discipleship. Amen. How many know joining a church don't make you a follower of Christ? Although there's some people that say they're followers of Christ, they can't even make it to God's house. Amen. To fellowship with his people, to worship their Savior. Amen. And to receive his word. And yet they desperately need his help in their life. Amen. I just don't see how that's going to work. Amen. I want to ask them sometime, how's that working out for you? Well, it isn't working out at all. Amen. You can't treat God that way and expect all heaven. Not that you're earning it, but you just can't dishonor God and expect God to come down and take care of everything for you. But if you put the kingdom first, because you put the king first. How do you put the kingdom first? Is it just God's house? Is it just giving in the offering? What is that? It's putting Jesus first in your life. Kingdom is not a mystical place. Amen. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are one and the same. Don't try to mix them up. Amen. It's the rule and the domain of a king. It is the region where a king reigns in undisputed authority. Say undisputed authority. Undisputed. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. And above all, he's my Lord. Yes. And he's your Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And when Jesus is Lord, the kingdom is first. Hallelujah. He said, you can't have the kingdom first and not have my lordship. Why callest thou me Lord, Lord, and what? Do not the things which I say. Amen. When we start making him the Lord of our life, we start doing what he says. When we do what he says, the kingdom's going to be first in our life. When the kingdom is first, the Bible said the Father knows what you have need of. Amen. And he will make it his personal business to see that those needs are met. Take you no thought for your life, what you shall wear, what you shall eat, what you shall drink. Amen. Your Father knows what you have need of. Praise God. And if you seek the kingdom of God, amen, and his righteousness, all these things, without exception, shall be added unto you. And that involves more than your clothes and chicken wings. Can you say amen? They come up with all kinds of things. In churches, they got chicken fingers, and I didn't even know they had them. I think that's false advertising. And on top of that, they got buffalo wings in some of these places. Buffalo wings. First time I saw that, I could see a buffalo trying to get off the ground. He can't budge. So they just cut them off and barbecue them. Ain't no good to the buffalo. That's silly. I just wanted some people in here that to understand there's joy in serving God. When Jesus is the Lord of your life, it doesn't cramp your style. It doesn't put you in a box. It sets you free from self. And when you're set free from self, there's a life in the Spirit to be lived. Amen. Walk in the Spirit. And what happened? And you will not fulfill what? That you can't ever fill up. That never gets filled up. Can you say amen? Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the passions, the lust of the flesh. You can never fill that. People think they can do it through sin and they go full headlong into sin and they're still dissatisfied. Can you say amen? The woman at the well had five husbands and she's give up on marriage itself. She said it's pointless, it's useless. I'm just going to live with this guy until it gets old and go on to the next and the next and the next partner. And Jesus loved her. Can you say amen? And he said, woman, if you come to this well and drink, you're going to be thirsty again. You're always going to be coming back to this well. But if you knew who it was, if you knew what I could do in your life. And he didn't even talk about heaven initially. Come on. Amen. He said, listen. Amen. Listen, folks, I want you to know the average person out there is not thinking about heaven or hell issues. Amen. We know it's true. They don't even give it a second thought. But there's one thing they cannot deny, and that is their emptiness. Can you say amen? If they're honest with themselves, even though they're not honest with you and me, amen, there's an emptiness. There's a God-shaped hole in the heart of every person's heart, and only God can fill that vacuum with himself. Can you say amen? And until he does, they're going to look to sin to do it. They're going to put undue pressure on their mate to do it. Your wife was not supposed to fill that place. Your husband is not supposed to fill that place. Money is not supposed to fill that place. They asked John D. Rockefeller if he could have anything in the world, what would he ask for? He said, more money. More money. In ever getting, never having enough. Can you say, man, what an incredible waste going after what God says can never fulfill you. And not discovering as Christians what God said will so fill you that you will never thirst again. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Remember that song, I sought for him and knew not what I sought for. I longed for him and knew not what I longed for. Then I found Jesus and I knew that I would thirst no more. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember that song, drinking from the springs of living water. Happy now am I. My soul is satisfied. You mean satisfied without a Mercedes? Amen. You mean satisfied without a Rolex? Hallelujah. You mean satisfied without that foxy lady over there?
Absolutely.
It's going to be all right, Sister B. I love my wife. But I want to be giving to her, not just wanting her to try to fill what Christ is supposed to fill in me. Because she can't. No matter how hard she tries, she will never be able. Have you ever seen somebody with a great husband, a great wife, and they looking over the fence all the time? Amen. Got a steak at home looking for a crystal hamburger. Can you say amen? Yeah. I mean, if you got a steak at home, you're looking over at that crystal hamburger. You know the crystal one that's looked like a, you got to get it. You think you're saving money, you got to get 20 of them to get the equivalent of a Big Mac. Can you say amen? Don't you have to get 20 of them? I mean, just go right on in and say, give me 20 of them little bad boys right there. Then go get you a piece of bread instead of that little thing and take all them patties and stack it in there on that bread and put it in a George Foreman grill and slap the lid on it with some cheese. And at the crystal? He was in there looking for one of them little hamburgers? See, I knew I was doing it all wrong. That's why he's so tall. I'm so short. I started in on that steak early and stunted my growth. It's all her fault. Amen. You met your wife at crystal. At the crystal, was she behind the counter? Yeah. She was the manager. All right. Okay. Well, we just touched a button on you today. Praise God. He said, I like the crystal. Y'all go to Mickey D's. I go to crystal. Come out with more than a hamburger. Pray you say amen. Praise God. Listen to me. If the church ever discovers what Jesus offers and partakes of it, we can find satisfaction in him. We're going to lose this love affair with the world. Because we know the world didn't give it to us. The world can't take it from us. We'll quit looking to people, amen, to be everything to us because he's already everything to us. I need people. I appreciate people. But the living water that keeps me going is coming directly, distinctly from the one who promised that he could give it to me. Praise God. And he can give it to me when everybody else is mad at me or everybody else is ignoring me or they got so many problems of their own they don't really worry about what's happening to me. But he is concerned about me. So the woman at the well, he said, if you knew who it was that John's Gospel chapter 4 that told you, give me to drink, you would ask of me and I would give you living water and you would never thirst again. She said, Lord, see, listen, I want to tell you something again. He knew what her immediate need was, and he knew if you get that met, the eternal things are going to be taken care of. Can you say amen? Come on, church, they don't care. The God of this world has blinded their mind. They don't see it or they couldn't sleep at night. Can you say amen? But what did he initially talk to her about? He talked to her about the hole on the inside of her. Amen. If you want to be a soul winner, you're going to have to talk to people about what's wrong in there because it's wrong in there. Amen. The wicked are like the troubled sea whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace. I don't care how hardy they party. There's no peace. When they're alone with themselves, there's no peace. Can you say amen? No peace within. Because the world can't grant it. Satan lies and said, this will do it. That will do it. He's a liar and the father of it.
Yes, amen.
And even though they won't be honest with you, they got to live with themselves. But the Christian life offers peace. But it's kingdom peace. Kingdom has to be first. Can you say amen for the kingdom of God? If it's accepted, appropriated, applied to your life, is not meat. It's not meat and drink. Everybody say it's not meat and drink. See, this is beyond just your felt needs, your passions of your flesh. But it is righteousness. It's a consciousness that I am right with God. I don't have to fear the judgment to come. I'm not alone down here. God is for me. Can you say amen? Fear can't choke me down and choke me out because God is for me. And what more shall we say to these things? If God is for me, who can be against me? Can you say amen? Righteousness means you're right with God. There will be people that will never forgive you, but God has.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
And if God is for you, I love that song, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. I laid me down and slept. I woke up. This I know, God is for me. He sustained me. Can you say amen? David got so convinced of what it meant to be right with God, even in the old covenant. Psalm 57, he said, the day that I pray, my enemies turn back. Oh, by the way, that didn't mean that they didn't keep coming in the physical. It meant his real enemy had already was counted as defeated. And all he had to do is stand to see that victory manifest. The day I pray. The day I pray.
Hallelujah.
The day I pray. That's what it means to have God for you. You don't doubt that he hears you. Can you say amen? You don't doubt that he listens. Praise God. The day I pray. I hear some people praying as if heaven's bankrupt. God is aloof in his heaven. Doesn't give a care. Can you say amen? And we're trying, amen, to somehow get him to listen to us. Amen. You need to be more convinced in your standing than that. Can you say amen? David said, I know what happens when I pray. I love him because he's forgiven me my sin. He's set himself in my defense, praise God. I love him because he hears my prayer. I love him because he hears my cry. I love him because he hears my voice, turning his ear or literally bending down and listening. That concern, it means to bend down and listen. It means to bend down and listen. When your daughter comes to me after church and wants to tell me something, amen, that's where I feel big, is when his little kids come around me. Amen. I bend down and listen because I want to hear what she has to say. If I didn't bend down and listen, I would miss it. But I'm concerned enough, amen, to bend down and listen. I've never let a child say anything to me that goes by. I want them to know how God is. Can you say amen? How the Father is. I bend down and listen. Praise the Lord. Pastor, I made this for you. Thank you, honey. Amen. I bend down and listen. David said, God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, bends down to listen. Amen. Wow! That's why the day that I pray, my enemies turn back. This one thing I know. I know God is for me. Righteousness. A right standing with God Almighty. Hallelujah. Tried in the highest and most severe court in the universe. Amen. And acquitted from your sin because of what Jesus did at the cross. Hallelujah. I know God is for me. I blew it, but I repented, and I know God is with me now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Righteousness. And standing in that righteousness comes a peace, the peace of knowing I'm right with God. The peace with God brings the peace of God into play. I'm convinced God is in control. Even when it seems, I'm going to preach some Sunday sermon, and you won't want to miss it, so don't miss a Sunday if you can help it, because you might miss it. I want to preach on what does it look like when God's in control? What does it look like? What when God takes control, what does the situation look like? See, we got a mental idea that when God's in control, the sea becomes calm. The boat ceases to rock. The sails filled with pleasant breezes, and we cruise down the sea of life, up a lazy river in the noonday sun. Amen. We just cruising down a lazy river. No, sometimes when God is in actual control, it looks like everything is out of control. Can you say, did you know the biggest example of that is Jesus hanging on that cross, looking completely helpless and hopeless? Can you say, man, and who was in control while all that was going on? Can you say, man, God's plan? Who would have thunk it that a lamb would, amen, be able to be slain for the sins of men? Amen. That something as puny as a lamb would be the mighty lion that roared against the devil in behalf of your soul and mine. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Praise God. God was in control. Hallelujah. Hey, what's it look like when God's in control? See, righteousness gives you a convinced heart that no matter what it looks like, God is for you, so God is in control, and things don't have to look like it. Amen. Paul gets in a ship. There's transporting him. It's a prison ship along with a goods that they were taking to another place. And he gets, God speaks to his heart and says, there's going to be a great storm. So he tells the captain of the ship, a great storm is going to come. We better not loose from port. And the captain checks the weather. Not a cloud in sight. Clear sailing. If he'd had Doppler radar like we've got, he could have seen the thing brewing. But all he could see is what he could see. And he thought, this guy's trying to delay me. Get on down in that hole and hush up. They got out in the midst of the sea in a great wind, Euroclodon. They called the wind by name, and it wasn't Maria. Can you say Mariah? Whoever. Can you remember the song? They called the men. You remember the song? I'm dependent on you. Nobody else here relates to me whatsoever. Young fellas, they're out of touch, except Brother Taylor, and he's old enough to forget it all. Amen. Praise God. You don't even. I love you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't do this, but I love you. I can't wait to forget some of it myself. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm talking about those pop songs. Hallelujah. Listen, the wind came. It blew so hard that it just never let up. So they proclaimed a fast. They proclaimed a fast. They got real religious. Have you ever noticed when things really get bad, all these unreligious and irreligious people get very religious all of a sudden? They started fasting. And then they did something else. All that cargo they had that was so precious, they decided if the boat's going to go under and we're going to go under with it, we're weighted down. The water line is so near coming over with those waves. Let's lighten the load. And they took everything that they didn't have to have and threw it overboard. Values change in those trials. Sometimes when God's in control, amen. Come on, values change. What good is the stuff if the boat's going down and you're going to drown? You can get more stuff. So they threw everything overboard. And the Bible said, and it was night, and they longed for the day. I mean, it's bad enough to be in a storm in the daylight, but when it's dark and you can't see that big swell that may be coming that's going to tip that boat, every time it rocks, you think, is this it? Is this it? Is this it? And after long abstinence, I like that about Paul. He thought, you don't want me to say nothing? Fine. And so he just sat down there and rolled with it. Roll with it. Amen. I said, he just sat down in the midst of that storm-tossed boat and rolled with it. And after long abstinence, see, they were ready to listen. Sometimes you have to quit bothering people and let God's storm, God was in control. Oh, yeah, I don't believe for one minute it was the devil trying to sink the ship. I believe it was God's storm. Amen. It wasn't the devil that caused the fish to swallow Jonah. God prepared that fish. Can you say, man? Come on, God prepared a fish. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Every storm is not the devil. Amen. We need to figure it out. Resist and reject the ones the devil's sending, but say, Lord, what do you want me to do when he sends one? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. After long abstinence, Acts 27 said, he came upon the board of the ship and said, men and brethren, be of good cheer. Let me tell you what righteousness will do. Knowing God is for you. He said, I got good news for you. Cheer up. He said, for the Lord has shown me that he's going to deliver me and all that sail with me. Praise God. Being with a Christian doesn't mean the storm ain't going to hit you. But it means God is going to deliver that Christian through the storm. Amen. Amen. And if you're on board, that means you get automatic help. Remember that evangelist told the true story? Said he was on a flight and said there was a guy behind him and he was already having too many martinis on the flight. And you know, said he got up and put his face up next to his and he said, you're one of them Pentecostal preachers, aren't you? And he said, yes, I am. He said, I knew it. He said, I don't believe in any of that nonsense, all that talking in tongues and stuff like that. He said, you're one of them tongue-talking ones, aren't you? And he said, yes, sir, I am. He said, because talking in tongues is talking to God. Amen. Not just talking to men, it's talking to God, Paul said. He said, well, I don't believe in it. Sat back in his seat, felt real good that he had, you know, stated his case. All of a sudden, the seatbelt lights came on. That little ding, please fasten your seatbelts. And the stewardess, you know, looking like everything's fine, you know, comes out and sits down facing the people and tries to keep that grin on. Amen. Knowing the captain said we're hitting some rough weather here. So she straps herself in. Amen. Everybody's strapped in now. And all of a sudden, they hit turbulence. And that old plane shakes and shudders. And every now and then, it just falls, flat, free fall. And whatever's on the tray comes up in the air while that thing, you know what I'm saying? And you're up there, and now that thing's being shaken around like a rag doll. That guy in the back seat sobers up. Seat behind the evangelist. He says, he gets beads of sweat on his head. Now the liquor isn't offsetting the fear. So he puts his head up there again, and he says, Reverend, he said, pray. It was Dwight Thompson. Dwight started praying. He said, I said, Lord, and he started praying a prayer for God to keep him in case this thing got any worse. And he said that guy put his hand between the seats, grabbed him by the arm, and then put his face up there again and said, pray in that other language. Because he told him that other one was talking directly to God. Yeah, we don't need one of these. We need the real deal here. Hallelujah. It's all right to criticize until you get in real trouble and you need a real answer from a real God. But let me tell you what righteousness will do. It will convince your heart that a real God is there in the time of real trouble. Can you say amen? It's righteousness. When Jesus is the Lord of your life, God is for you. God is with you. Pray in that other language. If it's the one that gives you a hotline to heaven, pray in that language. Now, God don't listen to tongues any more than he does English. He's looking at the heart. But tongues prays in the perfect will of God, even when you don't have understanding about something. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And there have been people abuse it and bring reproach, but I want you to know it doesn't make it invalid. We need the Holy Spirit in the services. We need God to show up on Sunday morning. Amen. Preachers scratching their head. What can we do to get people interested? I believe if God starts showing up, people will get interested. Can you say amen? God showed up on a burning bush. And a man with a whole lot to do stopped everything he was doing and turned aside and said, I'm going to see this thing. Say thing. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. I'm going to see this thing. Praise God. Nothing on my agenda is more important than what's happening on that bush right here beside me. And when he had that kind of priority, God told him, take off your shoes, man. You're standing on holy ground right now. God is manifesting himself. Praise the Lord. Do an act of reverence. Say, do an act of reverence. Amen. See, that's what happens when God begins to move in a service. People need to get extremely reverent.
Yes.
Because I'm convinced if people don't reverence that presence, he will withdraw it. I don't believe he'll be treated without reverence. Amen. I don't believe his word should be treated without reverence. Oh, godly fear. Praise the Lord. Amen. I love to define the fear of the Lord the way it should be defined. Remember, where you see it in the scripture, it is not the dread of God. Amen. It is deep reverence with awe and affection. Let all the world stand in awe of him. For he commanded and it was done. He spoke and it stood fast. Speaking of the way he created the universe, can you say, man, we ought to stand in awe of a God like that. But we ought to love a God like that, that said, but I'm this great, this mighty, and this powerful, but I love you enough. I love you enough to give my son for you and to give myself for you, in effect, on the cross. What a mighty God we serve. Righteousness gives you boldness. Let me tell you how this works. The Bible said in the book of Proverbs, the wicked flee. Here's paranoia. Everybody say paranoia. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. They're just afraid of what might happen, and there's not even an actual threat. But they're already, the adrenaline is going, and they're already on the run. Devil must cackle because he don't even have to do nothing. Just watch fear do its work. Can you say, man, just watch fear do its work. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. But the righteous, what happens? Same person living in the same world. Bold as a lion. Now I got to do this, and I'm not being irreverent, but who sleeps in the jungle? I mean, really can get a good night's sleep. What animal can lay down and sleep and know nothing's going to try to eat him while he's sleeping? Who sleeps tonight? Ooh, I can't do it. I preached out my high notes. I don't have them anymore. Everybody say a weem away.
A weem away.
Away. I don't know what that means. Maybe we shouldn't say it in church. I don't know. Might be animal talk. Remember the song, a weem away, a weem away, weem. In the jungle, the mighty jungle. Why did the lion sleep? Because he knows. He's the king of the jungle. Ain't nobody going to come and jump on the lion. They see the lion, they're going the other way. Can you say amen? Listen to me. Why? He's righteous. He's righteous. He has a standing with God. The righteous are bold. Why? Because God is for them and they know it. Oh, give God praise. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Listen, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. It's impeccable. Amen. I have granted it. The devil can't steal it or talk you out of it if you don't let him, because it's a gift and it's God-given. Can you say amen? Why doesn't it prosper? Because we stand in our standing. I said we stand in our standing. Stand still. Don't run in panic. Stand still and see the salvation of God. And be still. I think one is how we exhibit our faith on the outside. The other is how we exhibit it on the inside. To stand still is what you do on the outside. But to be still, that's on the inside. And I think you got to be still before you can stand still. Amen? Be still in what? Acknowledge and know that I am God, even when the ship looked like it's going under. What's it look like when God's in control to a righteous man? He said, I don't care how it looks. God told me, assured me, that he's going to deliver me and all those that sail with me, Acts 27. And oh, by the way, and isn't this typical? He's telling them that, and all the while you hear squeak, 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 squeak. There's pulleys turning. He looks over the side of the boat, and these people say, because he also told them something else they didn't want to hear. And when he told them God's going to deliver, but he said, but bad news is the ship that we're dependent on so much for deliverance, it's going down. Acts 27, read it for homework. Amen. He told them in the same breath, God's going to deliver us, but the ship's going down. The thing you're depending on for safety is going down. See, when God's in control, he becomes your safety.
Amen.
Not what you think you've got to have to be safe.
Amen.
Good news is he's going to deliver me and all that sail with me. Bad news is he ain't going to use the boat to do it. Come on, it's Acts 27. Wow, what's it look like when God's in control? Chaos, defeat, imminent death. No. And you know what? But if the ship's going down, get in a lifeboat and get out of it. Somebody done watched the Titanic, said, I ain't staying on here. Listen, he looked over the side and they were going down, letting down a lifeboat with a handful of them in it. He said, oh, by the way, except you abide in the ship that's going down, you can't be saved. You got to get back up in this trial. Because you can't escape it. Oh, what were they thinking? Everybody say, have you ever had one of those moments, say, what was I thinking? Can you say, man, when you had your mind on something and run that stop sign and then looked up in that rearview mirror to see if the popo saw you? Can you say, man? And then it occurred to you, what was I thinking? Listen, you wasn't thinking. That's exactly right. Amen. And he tells them, except you abide in the ship, you can't be saved. What did they think? If the ship can't withstand, this ship, big ship, can't withstand the waves, how is that little boat going to stand those waves? A little wooden, I'm not talking about a big inflatable thing that you can't hardly see. I'm talking about a wooden little lifeboat. As soon as they hit those waves, the first swell would have capsized it. He said the safety is right in the middle of this storm. See, when God's in control, sometimes your safest place is in the storm, not trying to get away from the storm. In your little red rented rowboat. Can you say? Your little dinghy thingy. Listen. It's incredible. It's incredible. They waited, and the ship was tossed on some rocks and broke to pieces. And it said some on boards and some on planks.
Hallelujah.
Hanging to the wreckage. Hallelujah. Some of them treading water. Not one Hallelujah. Of them was lost.
Hallelujah.
Now, I don't like to get wet like that. And get, you know, and get it that let it get that scary. But I'm going to tell you what I've learned. I'd rather be with God
Amen.
In the middle of a storm
Yes.
than on a calm sea by myself.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Oh, we're good. We're going to get there. You're right. Okay. You think it's over. Woo. Woo. The storm is passing over. Woo. Woo. They thought the storm was over. They made it to shore. They're wet like drowned puppies. They're chilled to the bone. They build a fire out of sticks that they gathered from the woods. And when they light the fire and it begins to blaze, they're all huddled around it. And some of them were malefactors. Some of them were prisoners that deserved to be in prison. But Paul was just a preacher. He's the righteous man among them all. And a snake is driven from those sticks they gathered out. A poisonous viper. And guess who of all of them he latches on to? The righteous man. The only man bit. Have you ever been there?
Oh, yes.
Honey, I'm handling it good talking about Paul. It's something else when it's me.
Yeah.
Bite him. And we'll pray for you. No, go bite that neighbor across the street that's going to go out today and just on God's day and get, he ain't even going to remember the game, because by the time the game starts, he's going to be so inebriated he won't know who's winning, who's losing, which team is which. I think he's looking in 3D and it's those old blurry eyes. Can you say amen? Already arguing, about to fight. Snake bits Paul. What's it look like when God's in control? Does it look smooth to you? Paul said, this is not the only shipwreck I was in. I was in two more. He didn't describe them. He said, I was shipwrecked thrice. God's in control. And to show you what God did out of this, because he kept, oh, by the way, if you're right with God, you can do this, but you can only do this if you're right with God. The Bible said when that snake come out and bit him, instead of doing like I would tend to do, we would tend to do, oh, Lord, why all these prisoners and all these wicked, evil people, it's all me, Lord, what's wrong, God? What's going on up there? Remember the man that fell off the ledge, the Grand Canyon? He's sliding down that canyon wall to his certain death, and there's one little weed growing out of the rock, and he grabs onto that weed for dear life. And that little weed is supporting the weight of this man, and that's all he's got to hang on to. So he knows he can't hang on to that little weed much longer. He decides to pray. And he says, Lord, Lord, if there's a God in heaven, if there's a God in heaven, tell me what to do. Help me. And a voice responds to him, calls him by name and says, let go, John. Let go. Because see, what he's holding on to is going to give way anyway. He says, let go and trust me, and I'll take care of you. And John, is there anybody else up there? It's not the answer we want, is it? I mean, it's easy to say the cliche, let go and let God, until it's time to let go. Can you say amen? So it looked like when God's in control. Paul knew God is for me. It's not time. When it came time for him to go home, he knew it. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. But until it's time, Satan ain't going to take me out. And God is going to sustain me. And this poisonous snake poison in my veins ain't going to stop God. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. And the Bible said when that snake came out and bit Paul, he shook it back into the fire. Shook it back into the fire. The righteous are bold as a lion. Come on, he shook it back into the fire. And now they look at that snake popping and cracking, dying in that fire. Here's a man, snake bit. And the Bible said they all sat down and watched him. They actually were watching for him to swell up and sweat and die. Amen. But Paul just sat there in the peace, kingdom peace came over him. Kingdom boldness came on him, and then kingdom peace came over him. Say, kingdom boldness came on him, and then kingdom peace came upon him. And he sat there with kingdom peace. Hey, kingdom joy is on the way. Look at somebody and say, kingdom joy is on the way. Can you say amen? When kingdom boldness comes upon you and kingdom peace comes within you, kingdom joy is on the way. Can you say amen? It's not for the flesh, amen, but it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's why putting the kingdom first doesn't leave you at a deficit. He didn't die. The poison had no effect on him. And their chief, however, was sick unto death. And they begin to believe in the God of this man. Praise God. They begin to believe that his God was God. And they said, if your God can deliver you like that, come and pray for our to your God. For our, listen, oh, by the way, let me back up and catch something crucial to this story. Amen. Paul said this boat is going to break up because we must be cast up on a certain island. Come on, this storm is going to take us somewhere God wants us. And without this storm, we're going from point A to point B, which is going from here to a prison cell with chains on me. But God wants to save some folk. Can you say amen? And the storm is going to serve his will. I don't know if God sent it or the devil sent it. It doesn't matter. Once God takes control, it doesn't matter who started it. It's how it's going to come out when it's all said and done. Maybe the devil wanted to destroy Paul, but God can use. Listen, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about God. Amen. The Bible said he's able to subdue everything unto himself. Amen. What Satan means for evil, Joseph said. I serve a God that can take his evil intentions and use it and weave it into the fabric of his eternal purpose for my life. Oh, you're not hearing me. Hallelujah. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Guess who won? Represent. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I didn't do it right, I know, but you knew what I was trying. Can you represent? Come on. You can't even do it. Come on. Talk about me doing it wrong. Can you do it? He ain't even going to come out behind the bush. He lived behind the burning bush. I never studied that either. I can't get it right. I look like a mummy or something. But I do represent Jesus Christ here today. And I've been through enough of those storms, and I've been snake bit enough, and I've complained enough, and I've tried to figure it out enough until I'm finally beginning to understand that when God is in control and you're right with him, you have nothing to fear but fear itself. Amen. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. If God can take a shipwreck and a snake bite and turn it into a revival, praise God. God can do something with your life in whatever shape that you're in today. Amen. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Give him a hand clap. And when they saw their chief healed, Paul had a captive audience to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Howbeit, we must be cast on a certain island. Now, what do you think? They wouldn't even listen to him when he said bad weather's coming. What do you think they would have said if in the midst of the sea journey, amen, that he had went to the captain of that ship and said, I feel a preacher's urge on me. It's a fire shut up in my bones, man. I know you don't get it and understand it, but I got to go preach to Sid Island way over yonder. We're passing by. I want to go over there and preach. Why don't you stop the boat right here, take my chains off, and let me go over there and preach. Well, number one, they wouldn't listen to him because they didn't. It took a miracle to get their attention. And took a snake bit preacher to get the miracle to them. A righteous man was on board. And they all came safely to shore. And God's will and eternal purpose took place in a shipwreck and a snake bite. And we sit down here and things begin to befall us. And we wring our hands when we should be raising our hands. Yes. Because we have a standing with God. We have a righteousness means boldness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And boldness means peace. Warrior peace reigns. Hallelujah. And the joy of seeing that revival offset all of that stuff he had just went through, seeing those souls come to know Jesus because he stood the test, kept the faith. Can you say amen? And they were convinced, this guy is not just a religious fellow. This guy has a God, hallelujah, that delivers him from the hand of the enemy. Praise God. I want to hear what he has to say about this living God and this listening God and this loving God and this lifting God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now to begin our sermon, I want to read you something before we receive communion today. You know, some of you are laughing right in the middle of your trial, and the devil is squirming right now. And angels are rejoicing because they're saying the joy of the Lord is present in the fire of that trial. These people are changing. These people are changing. Amen. Things are going to turn around for these people. Kingdom responsibilities can be granted to people that simply is not going to let the devil get them down because they acknowledge God is in control and his kingdom is first. As we move toward communion, I got this and I wish everybody could just see. See that big doggy right there?
Yes, sir.
This young man. I want you to see that big doggy. That's the doggy right there. See that young man? 20-year-old young man. That big black Labrador. This just happened a few weeks ago. See that big lab and his master. See him giving him sugar? Yeah. Isn't that precious? We're getting ready to serve communion, Sean, in just a moment. Praise the Lord. See that big black lab? That's Eli. That's Eli. That's his name. He's a bomb-sniffing dog. His master had been in the service for 3 months, and him and this dog bonded, and he slept with him in his cot at night. Eli slept with him. They sniffed out bombs that could have exploded and killed a whole bunch of Marines. Did you get to see that? You saw it. See Eli? Yeah. You see that? All right. This is from the Houston Chronicle, Houston, Texas. After PFC Colton Rusk was fatally shot in a firefight in Afghanistan, the 4-year-old black Labrador retriever stayed at his side during the battle. Fellow Marines said, crawling on top of him as his shield. And so the son didn't get to come home, but because the dog had been in harm's way so many times and been at risk, the Marine Corps felt it's time to let that dog come on home. And the parents, this 20-year-old boy just had his birthday 3 months in Afghanistan. They adopted that dog that covered, even though he couldn't help their son, he didn't run when all the gunfire started. And he covered the dead body of their son. Don't hurt him anymore. And actually, the dog became a shield with his body. We read in Ephesians 6 of the shield of faith. And we see our faith developing to such a high level that we, by our faith, quench the fiery darts. And that's how it's been presented to God's people. Wrong. Amen. Dead wrong. That's faith in your faith. And faith in your faith when you're wounded and hurt is not where your faith needs to be. If you want to understand the shield of faith, go back to Psalm 3. And I don't know if you have that song. You may or may not. Yeah, you do. All right. Listen. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. How say ye of my soul, there's no help for him in God, because he's my shield for my soul. Can you say, man, he's my glory? And he's the one. Not I didn't pull myself up by my faith. He lifted me. Thou shalt be born on eagle's wings. And I will not be afraid of 10,000 that camp around about me. I laid me down and slept. And that's when he was being hunted by Absalom to kill. But he said, I slept. I got a good night's sleep. And I woke up. God is in control. For he sustained me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What Jesus did on that cross was shield us from the wrath of God. Amen? And my faith is not in my faith to be strong enough to shield me from everything that threatens me. My faith is in the God who crawled on top of me to take the punishment. With his own body, Jesus shielded me. Amen. Therefore, Isaiah said, I will appoint him a portion with the great. If anybody's going to get praise, it's going to be the wounded servant. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Do you get it this morning? You understand it's not for the flesh, but it's righteousness. It's peace and it's joy. In the whole, hadn't we enjoyed this service? I've enjoyed preaching. Amen. God, there's victory in Jesus here today. Hallelujah. No matter what you're facing, put the kingdom first and watch God work. Look at somebody and say, put the kingdom first and watch God work. Put the kingdom first and watch God work. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen and amen. Will you serve us Holy Communion? Brother, would you let that particular song play today? bring her up.